He has trouble forgiving those who abused him when he was a child. He has problems forgiving his father and the lashes he received from him. He has problems forgiving his mother, who never acknowledged those beatings. He has problems forgiving others who knew about it and didn't stop it, and some of them even encouraged it. And he has problems forgiving the lady next door who sexually assaulted him. Perhaps most of all, he has trouble forgiving himself. And that's something many of us have trouble with, forgiving ourselves. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Forgive yourself. Sometimes we confuse forgiving ourselves with forgetting, but forgiving is not the same as forgetting. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, over to Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. And I want us to look at a few things that the Apostle Paul said. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. And here, as he does many times throughout the Bible, here he talks about himself. And he said, after being a Christian for many years, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, as we've already read this morning, there again he mentioned that he persecuted the church. And to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he talks about the fact that he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. And the Apostle Paul never forgot the things that he had done before becoming a Christian. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the same epistle from which we had our scripture reading this morning. And I want you to see that the Apostle Paul also reminded other Christians of their past sins, the sins that they had in their lives before becoming Christians. And although we assume they had forgiven themselves, as is talked about in our society, although this is not a way that it's talked about in the Bible, yet Paul brings these things up so that they remember them and they do not forget them. In verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And these are some people who had some really big problems. And in our society today, we would look at them after they changed their lives and talk about forgiving themselves of their past sins. And verse 11, such were some of you. But notice the rest of verse 11. We'll talk about as we go through the lesson. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. They had changed, they had been saved, they had been cleansed. And therefore, in the way we talk about it as men, they should forgive themselves. It is a hard thing to do. In doing some research for this lesson, I was looking for examples of individuals having difficulty forgiving themselves. I ran upon a few girls talking on Yahoo Answers, and one girl started the conversation because she had recently had an abortion. She says, how do I forgive myself for getting an abortion? She talks about how she can't stop thinking about it and that she'll never forget it. One of the girls answers in response to that. She says, you'll never get over it and it will always be in your head. You know, forgiving means pardoning. And it's not the same as forgetting. The things that we've done in our past, in all probability, we're not going to forget about them. There is some confusion from Hebrews chapter 8, and that's a typo. It should be verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. If you'll turn your Bibles over there with me, because it talks about God. And it talks about God's forgiveness toward us. And Hebrews 8 verse 12, and here the apostle is writing, speaking back from the Old Testament scriptures, and he says this about God and his forgiveness of us, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And so some, which, well, I can understand why, would then jump to the conclusion that God forgets about all of our sins once we obey the gospel. That he forgets about all the things we did in the past. But that doesn't make sense to me, because God is omniscient. He knows everything. God does not forget anything. So some would say, well, God chooses to forget those things. Well, for God to choose to forget something is to choose not to be omniscient. It doesn't make sense to me. Rather, I believe the meaning here is not that God literally forgets them, but he treats them as if they were forgotten. And this is in contrast to some other things said here in the book of Hebrews, that under the Old Testament covenant, when the sacrifices were offered, that every year these came up to God's remembrance all over again. And so they had to be atoned for every year, and that's not the case with us. These things do not come up to God's remembrance as today as us as Christians, because Jesus offered the sacrifice whereby they were forgiven forever. And so I believe this is the meaning and is the stark contrast between the two covenants. And I believe this teaches us how we ought to view our sins. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the things that we have done in the body, the deeds we've done in our bodies while we're here on earth. Therefore, God does not forget them. And certainly, if we do forget them, we'll be reminded of them one day. And also here, as John is telling us about the judgment, that the dead will be judged according to their deeds. So what does this teach us about forgiving ourselves? Well, as God forgets those things that we have done, those sins in the past that have been forgiven, he treats them as if they were forgotten. That's the way we need to treat them also. Can the young lady who has had an abortion, can she ever forget that? There's no possible way she can ever forget that. Those in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, those involved with homosexuality and fornication and all those things such as that, can you ever forget those things? No, it's impossible. Forgiving and forgetting are different things. Repentance is required for us to forgive ourselves. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 24, and when we repent, it helps us to do something. No, it doesn't help us forget. Repentance is not forgetting. In Luke chapter 24 and in verse 46. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And as Christians also, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that is exactly what we do. We repent. And that is to turn away from our sins. That is to confess in that turning that what we're doing is wrong. And it's not the things that we should be doing. We should be doing something else. And so as we change our lives and we go to God for forgiveness, and now, having repented, having acknowledged that those things are wrong, it does not make us forget them, but it helps us deal with them in acknowledging them, being honest with ourselves that they were wrong, I should never have done that, and it helps us then to move on with life and put those things behind us. If God forgave you, then you should forgive yourself. As you repent of those things and you change your life, then you should forgive yourself. If God has pardoned you, why should you not pardon yourself? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 9 and 10, as we've already read, but I want you to notice here, in particular, verse 10. Paul is saying here in verse 9, I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. Does it sound like he still feels pretty bad about his past life? Yes. Had he forgotten about it? No. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's what it's all about. It's all about God's grace. It's all about what God has done and what God gives to us freely. The free gift of forgiveness and salvation. It's not about what we've done in the past. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody here has things they want to forget about and put behind them and go on with life. Not one person here is any different from anyone else. It's about God's grace. And it's about accepting that grace. Even as one who's been forgiven, we have to realize, and you know, sometimes we think, well, because we're such good Christians, you know, because we go to church two or three times a week, because we're Bible teachers and good song leaders and all these, that somehow we're working our way, earning our way into heaven, and it's not true. It's all about God's grace. And when we totally wrap our arms around, it's all about grace, and it's not about the past, and it's not about whether I forget or not. It's all about God's gift to pardon me from my sins. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I want us all to realize this, that when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are cleansed. And as Christians, when we repent of the things that we do and we confess these things and ask forgiveness from God, we're cleansed. And I want us to realize that. And I want us to realize what is cleansed. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. It is the conscience that is cleansed. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 9. And here this is also talked about, and also is talked about what it is that cleanses our conscience. Verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 14 now. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? Our conscience is cleansed not to do those things anymore. And when it's cleansed, although we can't forget the past, we can forgive ourselves. Because God has forgiven us. Notice this was not possible under the old law, verse 9 and verse 13. It was absolutely impossible. But now, having been cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, our conscience is new. And in just a moment, we'll talk about putting the past behind us. Turn your Bibles, though, to one more scripture before we get there, to 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to notice, as Christians, yes, we are going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to do things we wish that we could just forget about, but that's impossible. But we have to let go of it. In other words, in our common everyday language, we have to forgive ourselves so that we can move on. Verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That means when we make mistakes as Christians, washed again, cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Our consciences are cleansed once again. No, we're not going to forget the past, but we can put it behind us and move on. In other words, we can forgive ourselves. Verse 9, if we confess our sins. And that's a very big part of it. When we come to terms with our sins, you know, even as one who's been forgiven years ago of something, you know, when you think about these things, do you pray about it all over again? I do. When you think about something you did maybe 10 years ago and you've been forgiven a long time ago, but you remember it, it comes up and you think about it, I pray about it all over again. Because I've come to terms with it. I can talk about it. I can talk to God about it. And that breaks down the wall of pride, which is usually our problem anyway. If we can get rid of that pride, we're so afraid somebody's going to find something out. That they're going to find out that we're human like everybody else and we make mistakes like everybody else. We need to get over it and move on. And we can do that cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, chapter 2, verse 2, is the propitiation for our sins. As we thought about it, Gary did a wonderful job. And even talking some in the medical terms about the nerves and things like that. It meant so much to me to realize what Jesus did to be that propitiation. So get over it. The sins we have in our lives, and move on. Now let's talk about that a little bit. Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He certainly had a lot to get over and a lot to put behind him. In verses 3 and 4, we can't focus on fleshly things. And that, once again, gets us out of this pride thing. We can't focus on the flesh. And the Apostle Paul says, for we are the true circumcision, who worship the Spirit in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. And brethren, you know these sins of the past, these things that we would like to forget, they are things that occurred in the flesh. And so when we don't put confidence in the flesh, when we crucify that self, when we consider the members of our body as being dead, then although we're not going to forget it, we can focus on the grace of God and on the sacrifice of Christ and on the cleansing of our souls and our conscience, and we can move on with life. Look down to verse 8. Verse 8, this is the way the Apostle Paul counted these things. More than that, I count all these things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. And those times of the past when we're doing the wrong things, well, at that time we were glorying in the flesh. Well, we've changed. We've turned from that. We've put that aside. And we need to count it as being rubbish. Not putting any stock in it at all. And what do you think about trash? Do you think twice about the trash you set out for the trash man to pick up? Do you think twice about that? Do you get terribly upset that I threw that trash out? Well, that's how we ought to view our life. I threw that trash out. It's gone. And so now move on. Verse 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And you know, that's what we got to be focused on. I don't know about you, but when I'm drugged down and I'm perplexed about these things of the past and I'm all drugged down, I might be worried about somebody finding out something or something like that. Even something that happened long, long, long time ago. What am I doing? I'm focusing on the wrong things. I'm focusing on fleshly things. I'm focusing on things that happened a long time ago. I need to be focusing on today and the future and let go of the past. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And you know, that's hard to do. It's going to come up in our memory sometime. But we don't live every day remembering every mistake we ever made. We have to live as if it never happened, as if we totally forgot it. put it behind us and reach forward. In other words, focus on the future, not on the past. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I tell you something, if we're doing that, our mind is going to be filled with so many things, and we're going to be focused on doing so much for the Lord that we don't care if somebody found out some sin in the past, some mistake I made in the past. I got more important things to do than worry about that. I'm not focused on the mistakes that I made in the past. I'm focused on the good I'm going to do in the future. And you know, it seems to me that's what King David did. It seems so cold to us, doesn't it? You know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He killed her husband just to make, you know, worked it out so that he would die in battle. And besides that, he got a lot of other people killed just so he'd get killed with a bunch of other ones. And then his baby was born, and his baby died, and he had so much grief. And as soon as the baby died, he got up, he ate, and he went on with life. And we say, how in the world could he do that? Is he that cold? Is he that ruthless? His baby just died? Isn't he more sensitive than that? Well, I'm sure it bothered him to a great deal. But to me, it's an example of someone who picked up and moved on with life. He couldn't let grief drag him down to the point of death to be worthless in the service of God. Yes, he had made a mistake. Yes, some bad things had happened. But yes, he needed to move on and be profitable in the Lord's kingdom. But he had, because he had the whole rest of his life to live. And that's, in a way, exactly what we need to do. We have to learn to put the past behind us and move forward. No, we're not going to forget. Yes, we're going to remember sometimes, but we can't let ourselves be drugged down and perplexed over those things that happened in the past. God forgave us. God forgave us. And now he's given us a mission. And it's our job to then forgive ourselves and to move on with that mission and not let the past drag us down. Forgive yourself. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. You can't forgive yourself until you seek and receive God's forgiveness. If you're not a Christian this morning, that's exactly what you need to do. Number 310, why keep Jesus waiting? Don't keep him waiting. Seek the Lord's forgiveness, and then you can forgive yourself. Or maybe you're a Christian here, and maybe you've been doing things that aren't right, and you've not corrected those things, and it's bothering you. It's holding you back in life. There's only one way to move forward in life. Correct them, get yourself right with the Lord, and once the Lord forgives you, forgive yourself and just move on as if it never happened. Gospel invitation. If you're subject to it this morning, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?